Janie Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. Hi, and welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show. I'm Janie Lee Grace. I hope you're well. It's been a really busy time for me. My memoir is out, From Wham to Woo, A Life on the Mic, which, of course, includes lots of stories about how I got interested in holistic living, natural living, how I wrote my first book, Imperfectly Natural Woman, and ended up doing all of the holistic stuff that I do. And of course, I share in that book how, despite being queen of holistic living, I was stepping around the huge elephant in the room that was alcohol. So I share that part of the story as well. So if you had a blast in the 80s or the 90s, or you like reading about radio stuff, you'll probably really enjoy the book. I hope so. Check it out. It's called From Wham to Woo, A Life on the Mic. And if you are in the UK, I've got a whole bunch of dates around the UK, bookshop dates and festivals. So we're going to be in York, in Manchester, then Daventry, Rugby, Milton Keynes, Swansea, Birmingham. Then booking for next year, next January, going to be at the Lights in Andover. That's on January the 10th. So you've got a long time to book that one. Be great to see you. Hopefully in Edinburgh at the end of January. And of course, the most important date to tell you about, depending on when you're listening to this, of course, is December the 2nd. There's a live meetup, alcohol-free live podcast recording, and a meetup at Club Soda in London. So if you're interested in any of those dates, if you like the idea of any of them, then it would be fantastic to meet some Natural Health and Sobriety listeners, to meet some UK Health Radio listeners. So do please come along if you can. If you go to janieleegrace.com, you'll see the link there for the book tour. If you click on that, or you can go to thesoberclub.com and click on events. Any of those will work. And I do think, you know, connection is key, isn't it? It really is everything. When you get to meet people in real life, and, you know, it's just amazing to meet like-minded people, whether that's because you're interested in holistic living or spirituality or sobriety or all of the above. It would be fantastic to meet you. I really look forward to it. So if you're in the UK, and you're very welcome to message me if you just want me to point you to a specific gig, you can find me on social media easily, at Janie Lee Grace. It'd be great to hear from you. And on that note, by the way, you know, if you're struggling, if you are in the early days of sobriety, then always reach out, because, you know, if you try to do this on your own, I think it's very difficult. I think you can sort of hole up with your own thoughts and go around in circles. And then when things get tough, the wine witch decides to appear, and you're back down the booze elevator. So I do think, you know, that connection piece, the accountability is really key. When you tell someone, that is what really makes a difference, because there's another layer of accountability there. So do please just reach out if you are struggling. My guest this week is someone I've interviewed before, quite a long time ago, but I thought it's definitely time for another chat with Barbara, because forgiveness is her thing. It's her topic, and it's such an important one when we think about starting to like ourselves, when we think about changing something in our way of life, when we think about leveling up, when we think about personal transformation. That forgiveness piece is absolutely key. And with the clients that I work with in the Sober Club, I find, you know, time and time again, they will quit alcohol. They, you know, they're doing this incredible thing for themselves, but they find it very, very hard to forgive themselves. Very hard. And it's a thing. We need compassion. We need to be kind to ourselves. And of course to others. You know, of course we've got the layer of around forgiveness for others. But I do think the forgiveness of ourselves piece is especially key in the early stages of sobriety. So I really hope you'll enjoy this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. all-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, I'm really pleased that yet again, we're going to be talking about forgiveness. It's a topic that I covered literally a few weeks ago on the podcast, but it was really just me sort of sharing some insights after having spoken to a few people. So really delighted that I've actually got an expert. Barbara J. Hunt is a transformational coach, and she specializes in forgiveness and does some amazing work. So Barbara, thank you so much for joining us again. I know we chatted a while ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago, it was 2021.
Oh, was it really? Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Thanks for having me back.
Oh, great to chat to you. Well, before we get into it all, just tell us a little bit about your background and what got you into doing all of this work.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm fascinated by how it is to be a human being and what helps to make it easier. All mental and emotional well-being and even spiritual well-being. But I wanted to focus on things that were really helpful. And if you have a spiritual path, all of the personal spiritual development, personal and mental emotional development health is good, but you don't have to be on a spiritual path for that to be worthwhile. And and it's been a lifelong fascination since I was about 15, and I read Jonathan Livingston Seagull and started asking some deep questions about why we're here and what's it take. And then it was strange. The forgiveness thing became my fascination, particularly why we don't, because there's so much information out there about, yeah, we should, and we know we should, and quite a lot of the time we think we ought to and we want to, but most of the time we don't. Mm. And so I got really curious about why don't we? And about 7 years ago, I wrote my book, Forgiveness Made Easy. And then since then, and even before that, I've been mentoring and coaching people with their forgiveness. And so that's mainly what I do, but I'm also a musician on the side.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I sing about forgiveness.
Amazing. I remember reading Jonathan Livingston Seagull on my very first ever flight.
So, really?
Yeah, that was really cool. There I was on an aeroplane. I think I was probably about 18 or something. I think we didn't fly early those days, or my parents didn't take me anywhere. Anyways, right. So, well, let's ask the really obvious question then. What is forgiveness?
That's such a great place to start because it's so misunderstood. I use a definition that I learned 30 years ago from one of my first teachers in this realm, Kay Bradford Brown, and he created something called the Mortal Life Program, which was a personal spiritual development program, and I trained with them to be a mentor and then to teach some of their work. And he says, forgiveness is the absolute refusal to hold ill will against someone for what they did or didn't do. I'll say it again because it's quite long. Mm. Forgiveness is the absolute refusal to hold ill will against someone for what they did or didn't do. And I love it because it's so comprehensive, and I can sort of demonstrate with a little jar full of pencils. This is holding the ill will, and we gather all of this stuff, grudges, gripes, grievances, and they sort of build up and we hold on to them. And the absolute refusal to hold looks like this. You just put them down.
Mm.
and then you go free. And the really important thing is it's you who's holding the ill will. And you're the one who can choose to put it down if you want to. And that doesn't mean that it's easy, but it just means you're the one who's in charge.
Yeah. And I suppose it's really important to stress as well that that does not mean that you are condoning bad behavior, because that's so often the thing that holds people back. It's like, well, I can't forgive because what they did was so terrible. And it was. It really was.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And it is ill will held over time for good reason. I mean, that's really important as well, that we carry our resentments because, and I've been thinking about this such a lot, it's like we want the other person to feel like we did. So in some ways, it's a bit of a messed up way of trying to get empathy. You want, if you've received some kind of bad treatment, the retaliation part, the wanting revenge, is often about wanting the other person to feel like you do. And I just find that fascinating. But the weird thing is, so imagine I'm holding my resentment. So here I am with all my resentment and I'm not condoning the behavior, but is this changing anything? Is the other person suddenly feeling remorse or changing their behavior or doing anything different? They may not even be aware that I am carrying all of this ill will against them. Mm. They're just off living their life. And it doesn't matter how long I carry it for, or how hard I carry it, or how firmly, or how convinced I am that I'm right. It's not going to make any difference to the other person.
Yeah.
We think it does. We think if we really hold it, if we really, really are right, and they are really, really wrong, something will change, but it doesn't. And it just damages us because we're the ones who are holding onto the stress and the, you know, I mean, literally the cortisol in our bodies goes up when we're holding resentment. And I even heard this fantastic study the other day where if you do forgiveness work, you can jump higher. And your perception of hills is that they're less steep. I mean, they're like literally measured in like reputable studies.
Amazing. And then the other piece is that, as you say, you're doing this for you. You're not doing it for the other person. So it's not necessarily about reconciliation either. Because again, you know, I'll have clients who might say to me, I can't forgive my ex or whatever. And no, I will never go back and make up and you know, and they're very strong about that. And the two things in their mind go together. But I'm guessing you're going to explain why you need to forgive, but that doesn't mean that you'll be then reconciling necessarily.
Yes, absolutely. And it's really, I think that is a really good point, because most people are afraid that it means that you're letting go of boundaries.
Yes. Or like suddenly, or you're going to let someone walk over you or
exactly
behave badly again.
Yeah, exactly. And you can forgive somebody and still go to court and divorce. Doesn't mean you doesn't mean that you don't do those things. You can still litigate, you can still take, you know, like even like, you know, pursue justice, but you don't have to hate the person while you're doing it. But we think we do need to do that because it feels like we've got something strong if we're holding our resentment. It feels right. And there is something as well about when we hold resentment, it's like a cover over our hearts. You know, it feels like there's something protective, a bit like a scab. And I feel like sometimes that's a necessary thing. And especially when something really difficult has happened, even though there are historical examples of people forgiving instantly. I mean, literally somebody kills their child and they say, I am not in my name. I'm not going to seek revenge in my name. I'm not going to resent that person. I forgive them. That's very unusual, but it does happen. Most people, they have to protect their hearts, usually with resentment. And after a while, when they've had time to heal, then they might think about doing their forgiveness work. And then they may or may not reconcile. And it's not necessary. And in some, especially the more religious teachings about forgiveness, there is a sort of suggestion that you somehow should reconcile. And I don't teach it in that way, because I think you don't need to. It's fine for you to keep clear boundaries and say, it's not safe for me to have that person in my life anymore, but I'm not going to hold any ill will against them. So I can think of them with love, but I can still say, I'm never going to answer the phone to them or let them in my house.
Yeah. So that was going to be my next question, you know, for people who are listening to this and perhaps they feel that they ended up drinking too much. They ended up in a cycle of addiction because of stuff that happened in relationships, because of stuff that's gone before. And that was the reason, you know, that they started drinking perhaps, or that's what's in their mind. So how can they begin to manage those feelings of resentment and anger, particularly as one of the things that I teach is, you know, when you are in the early weeks of quitting booze, for example, that is so not the time to be, you know, going off, knocking on people's door or opening an awful lot of wounds. So how can we better manage feelings of resentment and anger towards others who genuinely have wronged us, as it were?
Yeah. I think the first thing is to admit it.
Yeah.
Because that takes a bit of self-honesty and
to acknowledge.
And we like to be in denial, you know, because I'm such a lovely person. I don't hate anyone. And actually I do, you know, so it's like, it's really good for us to be honest about a resentment list and I, you know, or a forgiveness list. I encourage people to do that too. And as often in parts, you know, the kind of recovery programs, you might be making a list of the things that do need to be somehow addressed at some point when you're ready. And the things that have happened to us and the people who've wronged us, it's really useful. In fact, funnily enough, I was thinking about this the other day about how, like, the chords of music. If you think about a really beautiful chord and there's a really bum note in there, and that bum note is going to stay in there until you do the work to put it back in tune with the whole of the chord of your life. And so I would say, especially, you know, like you said, don't like rush to do those things, but I never suggest that you do your forgiveness work with the person in person.
No, exactly.
It's work you do in your heart first, and sometimes only in your heart. Occasionally, you might say, actually, there is something, you know, like, if this is all of my resentment against like a partner, I want to get rid of it, but there may be something we need to have a really important conversation about, that which is child rearing or, you know, boundaries or something. We there's a bit of it that does need to be communicated, but all of this stuff, no one wants to hear all your resentment.
Yeah.
You know, like, no one wants to sit there for, like, and this is the coaching work that I do with people. I do sit there and I do listen to the full extent of their resentment so that they can get it all out. It's a bit like a big, you know, vomit.
Big dump. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So that you can admit it and release it.
Yeah. So I know it's probably an obvious question, but please answer it anyway. If we do hold on to resentment, what does that do to us? You know, how does it sort of affect us and hinder us?
Yeah. Well, imagine that, you know, you, like, literally you're carrying this around with you, that, and it's,
we're,
it's,
don't forget, we're pretty much audio only, so describe what you're doing.
So I'm gathering loads of different bits of, like, equipment off my desk, like water bottles and books and pens and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm carrying them around with me, so I'm carrying these burdens around with me, and they're inside me. And in fact, the definition of the word resentment comes from sentir, which is the Latin for feel. So that means to re-feel all of those feelings. Mm. And they're, again, back to the academic studies about resentment, is there's proof that you carry cortisol in your body. And, you know, your blood pressure is raised when you carry resentment, because you've got anger, you've got all of those chemicals, if you like. And often when we've been wronged, we go over and over and over it in our minds.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking about something that happened in the office, like the following Tuesday, that qualifies as a resentment. And that's something that you can do something about. And it affects everything. I don't know if you ever have friends who are resentful of another family member, but it's actually really unpleasant to be around somebody bitching about another person.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I think it even impacts the quality of our lives. And also there's that still that sense of injustice. And like, I want to hold on to the resentment until there's been some kind of equalization. And we even say, I want to get even. But we can't really do anything about that, especially if the other person won't speak to us or if they've died. So you're just left with this incomplete, and it goes round and round and round and round. And the things that I hear the most after people have done forgiveness work is they feel lighter and they feel free, because you've done the completion work inside of yourself. You've found a way of saying the things that needed to be said and found a way of reconciling inside yourself about what happened. And it doesn't change it. It doesn't mean that it's, you know, the thing that happened might still be wrong. You know, we never, yeah. When you forgive something, it doesn't suddenly make murder okay. You know, it's like, that's always going to be wrong. There are always going to be things that are morally wrong or reprehensible or, you know, immoral, illegal. You know, there are always going to be those things, but it's more about where do I position myself in relation to that thing that's happened and that person.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess we obviously have to talk as well about the other piece, which is forgiving ourselves, the self-forgiveness piece, which it is a very big one for a lot of my clients, because, you know, often it's not till we come out of a period of, you know, addiction or whatever, that we kind of suddenly recognize just how guilty we feel. We feel often feel shame, we feel guilt. It's very hard to just kind of, typical to just kind of carry on beating ourselves up.
Yes.
So how do we begin? How do we start the process of forgiving ourselves? Why should we forgive ourselves?
Yeah. Well, there's actually three different strands of forgiveness. One is forgiving other people. One is us asking for forgiveness from other people,
right,
and self-forgiveness.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that middle one gets in the way of the self-forgiveness more,
yes,
because there may be things that we've done that we really regret and that we can't change and that had consequences. And so when I do self-forgiveness practice, I help people do that part of the undoing first, before we do the self-forgiveness, because sometimes there's that. Sometimes you do need to forgive someone. Maybe it's all three, and you need to do all three parts. You do need to forgive somebody, but you also might need to ask for forgiveness, even from that same person sometimes.
Right. And would that always be done, or would that ever not be done in person, as it were? Can you do that bit on your own or not?
I say do all of it on your own first.
You can.
And
okay.
then if you feel okay. inspired
yeah,
to
yeah.
do those things. And this is wonderful because I use the realm of the imagination in my work. But to your imagination, even when you do things like you imagine, you know, high jump or you imagine learning piano, to your brain, it's just it's real. Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you imagine you've had a really brilliant, honest conversation with somebody and then you've understood, and this is the amazing thing as well, Janie, is sometimes when you do that kind of work, when you put yourself in the shoes of the other person, because that's part of the process that I do, people are surprised that things come out of their mouth that they'd never imagined they'd say. And sometimes they get a bit of an insight into the other person.
Yeah.
And it is wonderful because that's really what we need, is more understanding about, and it's not condoning unacceptable behavior. If somebody's, you know, being abusive, they need to take responsibility for it. But if you, in that dialogue, understand that they in turn were abused or they had other issues or they just literally do not have the mental or emotional bandwidth to see something different, that can help you with your forgiveness work, because you have more of an insight and more compassion for that other person.
Yeah, I'm sure I mentioned when I chatted to you before that I do family constellations work.
It's and exactly like
it's, that. Yeah, it is amazing that someone can, you know, hand back what's not theirs to carry. Right, it's that thing of being able to let it go. You know. And it can, it even feels as though it has an impact. Obviously, the other people are not there. So they're absolutely doing it for themselves. But you get this sense that the energy shifts even for the people who aren't there, even for our ancestors, right? It feels as though some healing can happen.
It's so true. And it sounds so woo-woo, doesn't it? But I you know, it's not even like I would put money on it. This happens all the time.
Yeah.
And in fact, I had a really lovely example the other day. I worked with a friend's daughter a friend's daughter's friend. And when she returned home, we worked on her mother, her relationship with her mother. And when she returned home on an aeroplane, her mum greeted her and hugged her. And she said, my mum hasn't hugged me since I was 4 years old.
Yeah.
And she did her forgiveness work. Her mother didn't do her forgiveness work, but her mother felt something that meant she could reach out to her and hug her daughter for the first time since she was four.
I love that.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, we've had similar things where people have been estranged from family members and they've left the constellation session, phoned us up a week later and said, "You're not going to believe it."
And you go,
"My dad called
me."
Yeah. It is amazing.
But stay on that though for a second, Janie, because I just think that is so important that we know that somehow we are interconnected. And so that's another reason why it's worth our while doing forgiveness work, because it matters not just to us, even though we say you're the primary beneficiary of your own forgiveness. But actually, what if me doing my forgiveness work actually impacts, like you said, ancestors?
Exactly.
It undoes like collective trauma and historical trauma.
It's like kindness, isn't it? You know, it's not just for you.
Yeah.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with Nasal Guard for pet lovers. Nasal Guard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try Nasal Guard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So when you say, you know, use the phrase forgiveness work, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean the journey toward forgiveness, because that can be quite a long one. So some people need quite a long run up before they feel somewhat ready to go for it. Some people, you know, like know that they need to do it. Sometimes people sit on their resentments for decades and then go, actually, no, I really need to do something about this. So what I offer is a information that helps you to get there. So that's the Forgiveness Made Easy book, really, was just like undoing all of the major obstacles to forgiveness, like what gets in the way, and then offering a how to do it, because I think that's the other thing that is very difficult for people. It's like, well, how do you do it? If you were not going to go and have a conversation with the person, what are you actually doing that makes you feel like you've forgiven somebody? And so I coach with a particular ritual. It's a bit like a ceremony of undoing or a vow of undoing. And just like you were saying in the family constellations, where you're actually restoring things or reclaiming things, that all happens. So we deal with resentment. We have a really honest dialogue. We take it to a different level. There's a fire that, you know, like in your imagination, you know, there's all the different elements of transformation so that you can really feel like the things that need to have been healed get healed.
Yeah.
And that there's an exchange, things are reclaimed that should never have, you know, been given away. And there's like the letting go part. And then I do one of the steps, because it's a 7-step process, is these really beautiful words about, I refuse to hold my ill will against you, even though I don't condone your behavior. And, you know, like, and I, you know, I release my ill will and my judgments and my expectations and my disappointments. And it's like this idea of just like really disallowing everything just to be expressed and released.
Yeah.
So you feel free. And then maybe there's something that gets restored at the end, and you make a vow really to the other person about, well, how I'm going to think of you is, or what I'm going to do next is. And sometimes that is, I'm going to you know, put some clear boundaries in place. And sometimes it's, I'm going to think of you with love.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is amazingly freeing, isn't it? There is a real freedom that comes with that. And I don't know if I mentioned it to you when we spoke last, but years and years ago, it was an awful long time ago, I remember I was going through something with someone that I was feeling unbelievably resentful, like big time resentful, eaten up with it, really, actually eaten up with it, to the point that I felt like I was trying to plot revenge or something. God knows what I thought I was going to do. It was crazy. But I don't know where the idea came into my head, but it was Lent coming up. And one of my friends said, oh, you know, I'm going to give up chocolate or whatever. I thought, well, you know, I'm not interested in that. And then somehow this idea came to me that for Lent, I would give up, if you like, this resentment and instead just send love to this person. It was really hard at first, you know, because I kind of, there was part of me railing against it, right? But I did it. And my God, did it transform everything? Everything. Yes. It was incredible. It was just that commitment to just, okay, well, I've made this commitment. I am not going to focus on that. I'm going to just send love. That's it. Just send love. Yeah. So it really is amazingly freeing, isn't it? It really is incredible.
It is. I love that story. And also it's that everything in us wants to carry on holding the resentment, especially, you know, when there's something that we, you know, like shouldn't have happened. And then, you know, it's almost like we're screaming to kind of like, that is so not okay. And so that's why forgiveness can be so hard, because we're going in the complete opposite of what we, like, inverted commas, naturally want to do. And, but when you do, it's the most incredible power, because you're free. It's like, and sometimes I think people don't realize that, you know, because it looks like it's a bit of a weak position to forgive somebody, but actually it takes incredible strength. And you feel really empowered because you claim back the power in your life.
Yeah.
The agency.
Totally, totally. We must, if we're talking about forgiveness, we must just mention Ho'oponopono, or however many Onos there are, because, you know, lots of people talk about it. So tell me where that kind of fits in. Maybe just explain it for people who aren't aware of it.
Yes, well, it's a Hawaiian prayer of forgiveness, and it's, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, or in any order, they can come out in any order. And it's like a mantra. And you can think of somebody, and that's sort of what you were saying you were doing in the Lent.
Yes.
It's
that
kind of practice where you're just choosing to send love. And that can, for some people in some circumstances, be incredibly powerful. I think of it as like a backup, you know, it's like an extra thing to be doing. But it's not the same as going through the whole ritual where you're expressing your resentment and going through all the different other seven steps. But it's a really lovely practice.
It's a great chant. But again, there are people who would say, well, I can't say those words, you know, why would I say thank you for something that you did, you know? So can you just explain what the real essence of it is?
Well the essence, well, for me, is it's that humility. It's about you choosing, again, you reclaiming the power. And also I think it's an honoring of yourself as well. You know, sometimes people do it for self-forgiveness. That can be really, really powerful. And the thank you can be controversial, because sometimes there's, and especially in the spiritual world, there's a lot of teaching about, you know, you asked somehow for something to happen, or, you know, like that you made a soul contract with an abuser or something like, you know, there's a sort of an encouragement to do that and to say thank you for the lessons that you've learned. And that doesn't fit for everybody. So I'm a little bit ambivalent about saying that the thank you is going to necessarily be easy to find. But I think there's power in you know, like, in fact, there's a really lovely, do you know The Course in Miracles? Do you know that?
Yeah, book? Of course. Yeah.
There's a really lovely phrase in there which says something about, let me see my savior in this one you have appointed for me to ask to lead me into the holy light in which they stand, so that I may join with them. And that's the similar thing with the Ho'oponopono, where you're trying to see the light in the other human being, the goodness in them. And there may be things to thank them for. And some of it can be, you know, for your own, you know, you're realizing that you're judgmental, and for your own release. What would you say? What's your take on that?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it could be as simple, in inverted commas, as thank you that I am now able to forgive. Thank you that I am able to make that shift, you know, however hard it might feel. So, yeah, I mean, again, I have found it very powerful when I've used it sometimes, you know.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
Yeah, it's definitely worth mentioning, isn't it? Because a lot of people talk about it.
Yeah, and it's a quick practice as well. Because I think the other thing is that you just think, oh, you know, do I have to do my forgiveness work? You know, that's the kind of a quick work. And especially if there's something, a small thing that's happened. And you just want to release it quickly.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great starting point for someone who has stopped drinking. And this constant voice is, oh, my God, all those years, you know, my kids were young. I mean, I had all that, you know, why didn't I stop sooner when my kids were younger? And actually, you can chant that a few times and it can make a difference. It can help shift things just a little bit. It all comes back to that self-love piece, doesn't it, really? But that's a topic for another time, maybe. So just tell me a little bit about your workshops that you offer monthly, is that right?
Yeah, monthly. So I do one-to-one work, but also I offer group, I call them forgiveness fields, which are a place where you can come and practice. So I do a little bit of introduction, we do a little bit of brainstorming, and then I guide the whole group through the forgiveness practice. And this is great for like everyday things, annoying colleagues, you know, maybe, you know, a friend who's been a bit annoying, or like simple things, not the big stuff. Because if you want to work on like mum or dad or like a significant other, it's much better to do one-to-one work because you need more time. But as an intro and as a practice, because the way I try and teach it is like it's like a yoga practice or Pilates practice. Like, you don't go, oh, I've done yoga. You know, it's like it's an
you've got to carry on practicing. And
it's
also a kind of a little bit about like strengthening those muscles, isn't it, really? Strengthening your forgiveness muscles so you know how to use them next time.
Exactly. And it is like a master spiritual practice, from my point of view, master secular ethics practice, the best mental and emotional health practice, because you're doing things that are unfamiliar. Usually we don't have any coaching normally about how to forgive people, but it can transform our relationships, just like you said. It changes things in an almost miraculous way. And I call them forgiveness fields for two reasons. One is the lovely Charles Eisenstein idea that forgiveness is like a resonance. So there's a particular kind of attunement. So when we gather together to forgive, there's something like we're setting a really high intention. Because if you think about love, joy, forgiveness, they're high quality, high resonance things.
Whereas things like shame and guilt are lowest resonance.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're in a high resonance like field, if you like. And also there's that really beautiful Rumi poem about out beyond ideas of right doing and wrongdoing. There is a field. I'll meet you there.
Yeah.
And that's where we gather. And for me, it's like sacred space, because I'm helping people to release things that they think they can't release. And most of the time when people do the practice, they say at the end, I feel lighter, or that's a weight off me. And, you know, it changes your life.
Yeah.
So like, you can't think of a better thing to be doing once a month than something that potentially makes you feel better about yourself and your life.
Yeah, totally. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Barbara. Thank you for sharing stuff with us. We'll make sure everything goes in the show notes. Just remind us of your website and we'll put that in the notes as well.
Thank you. It's forgivenessmadeeasy.co.uk.
Brilliant. Barbara, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Such a pleasure. Thanks, Janie.
Barbara J. Hunt, and I really hope you'll follow up some of that stuff around forgiveness. Make sure you stay connected, as I mentioned before. Join us in the Sober Club if you want support and accountability. It's very low cost. It's very high value. Of course, I would say that, but it really is. There's an awful lot in there. There's an exclusive recording with Barbara, for starters, in the member portal. And there's an awful lot around personal development, around how you can just level up so many different areas of your life, whether that's nutrition or mindset stuff or fitness or spirituality. We've got sessions in there with a shaman on movement medicine. We have loads around nutrition. We have yoga. There's just about everything you might want, and lots of fantastic audio recordings. And then, of course, we've got a Facebook group, a dedicated Facebook group, private space where people connect. And we have regular Zoom meetups. Oh, and there's a course called Get the Buzz Without the Booze. So The Sober Club is for you if you are new to sobriety, maybe just thinking, you know, it's early days, but I'm sober curious. That's okay. Or perhaps you've been sober for many years and now you want to think about, you know, what's the next thing? And on that note, if you want to join us for a free webinar, From Sobriety to Purpose, do join us on Tuesday, December 3rd. I'm doing a free webinar called From Sobriety to Purpose, Exploring a Career as a Sober Coach. Now, I fully appreciate that won't be for everyone. But if you've been thinking, this ditching the booze thing, it's forever for me. And yeah, I would like to support others, or I'd like to lay some foundations for my own sobriety, then feel free to join us for that free webinar. You do have to register for the webinar, but it is free of charge and it's not salesy. I do offer sober coach training. We have another training coming up in April, but this webinar is not salesy at all. The webinar is to just have a discussion around finding your purpose, around what it might look like if you were to think about training to be a sober coach, how you might be able to use some of those skills, what benefit they would bring to you, and or anything else that you're thinking of for your purpose, how you can just level up that that sense of what is next for me now, you know, what is my new identity going to be now that I've ditched the booze. So if that resonates, please go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, and you'll scroll down and you'll see the little picture there for the webinar on Tuesday the 3rd of December. That's the online webinar. The night before that, don't get confused, is our meetup and live podcast recording in London. And you get included in your ticket is a lovely little well-being goodie bag. So it'd be fantastic to see any of you who are in the UK, see if you can come along to that event, or we'll see you on the webinar. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being part of the UK Health Radio family. Check out more of my work at thesoberclub.com, and I will see you next time. You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.